Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul.
Welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevins Welder.
Proverbs chapter 18, verse 8. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 8. And frankly, today we've got a text about my worst enemies in Christianity. And I don't mean mine personally, but the ones that I disdain the most in Christianity. Everybody's got to have something, right? Well, this is my group. I just disdain this group right here. Proverbs 18, verse 8. The Bible says, the words of a talebearer are as wounds, and they go down into the innermost parts of the belly. All right? The words of a talebearer are as wounds, and they go down into the innermost parts of the belly. That group right there, talebearers, tattletales, busybodies, I absolutely despise them. Now, there's always this thing in human nature that when you hear something, you want to go give it to somebody else. Juicy gossip. News. And that's what sells newspapers. That's what sells your views on the internet. They come up with a classy title, something to catch your attention, and then you click on that thing, or you open that page, or you read that magazine article, or you listen to the news, and they're going to spicy up the deal so they can tell you something about somebody else. And a lot of times, they're only partly true. A lot of times they don't tell you everything. A lot of times it's sensationalized in order to try to, you know, get your attention and sell another ad, make a little more money. But you know something? While that's an evidence of human nature, and you see it out there all the time, okay? And this isn't about newspapers and all that kind of thing. This is about you. This is about me. This is about people we know in Christianity. That element of human nature that compels them to be the first ones on the block to come up with the news and tell you the story. We'll fill in the details later, even if we're wrong now. That whole thing that's in human nature ought to be put to rest immediately when you trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. That ought to be the dragon that is slain immediately. That desire to use your tongue to spread dirt on somebody else, I mean, literally, ought to be killed out when the deeds of the flesh are mortified by the Spirit of God in your body. Like Romans 8:13 says. Like Colossians 3:5 says. That stuff ought to be killed out. That thing is an infection. It is gross. And when it enters into Christianity and it is used by Christians in congregations, I am telling you that one thing right there is responsible for tearing up more churches than probably any other thing on the face of this earth. And why is it so bad? Well, our text tells us, for one thing. Proverbs 18:8, let me read it again, says, the words of a talebearer are as wounds, and they go down into the innermost parts of the belly. Long-lasting harm, that's why. Long-lasting harm. Listen, when wounds go down into the innermost parts of the belly, they begin to change the chemical composure of the body, and things begin to go wrong with you. You know how people get ulcers? Innermost part of the belly. Improper digestion leads to immune dysfunction, colds, asthma attacks, stress-related disorders, sicknesses, illnesses, cancers. Why? Start worrying about things. Listen, when a person uses his tongue to spread dirt on you, or you use your tongue to spread dirt on somebody else, or to start wagging that thing out there, when it gets back to the person about whom you are talking, that incident will leave long-lasting harm in the life of that other person. You can do more damage with your tongue over time than you could with a shotgun. At least you'd put them out of your misery, out of their misery, if you just took them out. And I tell you what, there's no place for this in Christianity. I hate this kind of thing. And I've seen it. And I'm going to see it again because we're human and this kind of stuff still goes around. I've watched it in churches that I've been a part of, in churches that I've pastored. I've watched people use that tongue to try to tear up somebody else, regardless of what the motive is. It may be envy. It may be jealousy. It may be hatred. It may be bitterness. You don't know what it is. You know, a lot of reasons why people have all kind of anxiety about somebody else and they want to start telling bad things. I've watched them do it. I had an incident one time in a church where six different families came to me over a period of about 2 weeks and were telling me about one individual that was saying all these bad things about another individual in the church. And thank God for the maturity of these Christians. They didn't repeat the news. They came to me and said, "What do you think about this situation?" I said, "You know what? You're the third person that's told me. You're the fourth person. You're the fifth. You're the sixth person that's told me." I said, "Just keep it under hat. Don't repeat it. Let's pray about it and see what God does." And I'll tell you what, thank God. Thank God. God moved that person on. You talk about stirring up trouble. I'll tell you, with that kind of thing going on, what happens is people are sensitive to it. They're aware of it. They know that somebody else has been talking about somebody else behind their back, and it has a tendency to chill the meeting. You know where that Bible says, quench not the spirit? That has a tendency to quench the spirit in a Bible service. It doesn't only wound the person about whom you're talking, but it also has a tendency to have a quenching effect on the work of the Holy Spirit in the congregation so that other people who ought to be getting fed from the words of God are limited in what they're getting. And it's the fault of the talebearer. Now, I don't know who I'm talking to today. I mean, because I can't see you. I know I'm talking to you, but I can't see you. You can't see me, but you can hear me. And probably right now, thank God, you can't talk back. And I'm going to tell you something. If you are the type of person that is prone to use your tongue to tell things that you have heard, to bear tales of the things that you've heard, stop it right now. Cut it out. Period. It's nobody else's business. You're not the one that was deputized by God to go spread the bad stuff on the other person. Leave it alone. You don't know how badly you're hurting the person that you're talking about. And let me tell you something else, in case you wanted to know. You know that old saying, what goes around comes around? One of these days, you're going to be the butt of the tales that are being born. And you're going to want to fight like crazy. And when you don't get anybody else to listen to you as to why you're not guilty of the thing that's being said about you, you're going to leave the church and you'll never go back and you'll be out from underneath the preaching and your life as a Christian will be miserable. You may be in that case right now. And never thought to trace it back to the days when you used to bear tales about somebody else. Now they started talking about you and you left and you'll never go back. Oh, this thing is wicked. This thing is wicked, man. This is where you sow discord among brethren, and the Lord hates that, according to Proverbs chapter 6. You know, those people you're talking about are God's children. Those are God's sons. To as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. And that's the way you're going to talk about your brothers and sisters in Christ. That's the way you're going to talk about God's children. Say, well, he ain't acting like God's child. It's not your business to tell the rest of the world what he's doing or what he's not doing. God didn't deputize you to do that. He forbade you to do that and told you if you want to hurt the guy real bad, just go tell the tales. You'll face him at the judgment seat of Christ, and then what will you do? You are wrong. You are wounding them. That's what the Bible says. The words of a talebearer are as wounds. You're wounding them. You're not using your fist. Oh, no. Oh, no. When they walk in the room, oh, you talk about goody, goody two-shoes. Why, look who showed up. And you just put on airs like nothing is wrong, and how dare people say that you're saying anything bad about persons like that? Oh, you wouldn't do a thing like that. Not me. Wounds. You might as well hit them. You might as well hit them with a stick. You might as well poke them with a knife. You might as well shoot them and wound them, because that's what you're doing with your tongue, talebearer. You have absolutely no business to disobey God and tear up his children and wreck his church and quench the work of his Holy Spirit in a congregation. Keep your mouth shut. You say, preacher, we've listened to you quite a bit, and we don't hear you talk like that ordinarily. Well, ordinarily, I'm trying to feed you and teach you something today. I'm trying to straighten you out. That Bible says all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine. What's the next thing it says? You say, well, I don't know. Well, you ought to have memorized it. Correction. Reproof. Instruction in righteousness. You know what old Paul told Timothy to do? He said, when you get up there in that pulpit, my friend, he said, you get up there in that pulpit to start to preach, you reprove, you rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. And today is one of those days where you need a good rebuke. What's a rebuke, you say? It's a good swift kick in the pants. Listen, I'm not trying to run you off, and I'm not trying to make you an enemy. I wouldn't tell you what I'm telling you, and I wouldn't tell you with the force that I'm telling you if I didn't care about you. I'm not going to be like another guy that's going to sit here and hold your hand and lie to you just to make you feel good. You don't go to the doctor to be lied to. You go to the doctor, you got cancer. You know, and the doctor said, oh, no, it's just a little bad cold. Take a baby aspirin and go home. You'll be fine in the morning. No, you want him to tell you that you've got cancer, and you want him to aggressively treat it so that you can get it out of your body. Okay, if you're a talebearer, you've got a cancer. You've got to aggressively get it out of your body. And the only way I know how is you got to understand what it is and see it in God's light. And God's light says you are wounding the person about whom you're talking, and you have no business doing it. You can dish it out, but you cannot take it. The individual I'm telling you about that was spreading all that junk where the six families came and talked to me, when bad stuff was said about that person, boy, have mercy. You talk about putting your hand in a hornet's nest. Dish it out, no problem. Take it, impossible. That's the way it is with talebearers. You know, a preacher was the butt of a tale that was being told by a woman in his church one time. He called her into the office. He says, I've traced it back to you. Have you been saying that? She said, yes, I have. And he gave her a word of scripture, and she apologized. And she wept, and she repented and said she'd stop. He said, good, I want you to do me a favor. I want you to go out, and I want you to get a chicken, and I want you to stand on top of the tallest building in town. Well, it was a small town. It had a four-story building in it. And he said, I want you to pluck every feather out of that chicken. She did. She came back and said, well, I've done what you told me to do. That was part of her repentance, you see. I've done what you told me to do. And the preacher said, thank you. And she said, what good was that? What did I learn from that? Why did I do that? He said, now I want you to go back, and I want you to pick up every feather that you've plucked off the top of that chicken and thrown off the top of that building. She said, well, there's no way I can go back and get all the feathers. And he said, neither can you go back and retrieve all the bad things that you've said about me. Let this be a lesson to you. Don't start something, because it goes out of control. And that's what had happened. And that's what happens when you bear a tale. You tell one, they tell others. And now the thing goes out of control. There's no way you can go back and retrieve everything that's been said. In Leviticus chapter 19, verse 16, you have in the Bible a direct command from God not to do this kind of thing. Leviticus 19:16, thou shalt not go up and down as a talebearer among thy people. Period. I mean, it says colon, and it goes on for some other stuff, but as far as that command is concerned, thou shalt not go up and down as a talebearer among thy people. Do you have any trouble with thou shalt not kill? Hello? I'm talking to you. Do you have any trouble with thou shalt not kill? You say, no, that's a commandment of God. I wouldn't do that. Yeah, but it's also an Old Testament command. But you keep it, thank God. After a message like this, you might be inclined to kill somebody that's sort of near and dear to me. You get the point? The Bible says, thou shalt not commit adultery. Hello. You don't do that, do you? That's an Old Testament command. Then how do you feel? And thou shalt not steal. You don't do that. Thou shalt not bear false witness. You don't do that. Huh? Honor thy father and thy mother. You do that? Those are all commands that originated in the Old Testament. Then why would you feel justified in being a talebearer when God said, thou shalt not go up and down as a talebearer among thy people? You're breaking God's law. And it's just as vicious as if you were a murderer, and just as vicious as if you were a false witness, and more than likely the story you're telling is not exactly the truth anyway. The tales that have been told about me, I've seen. I've watched what they do. Oh, there's always elements of truth in what's being said, but there's always that element that's twisted a little bit. And how do you think that God feels about that? You don't know the whole truth. You won't know why to say what you say. You don't know why the situation happened the way that it did. You don't know the context. You don't know the circumstances. You don't know the person. You don't know everything that happened. All you want to do is tell the juicy stuff. Where'd you learn to talk like that? From a television? You don't learn to talk like that from the Bible. You think Jesus Christ went around and blabbed his mouth, told everybody the bad things that his disciples did? Are you kidding me? when you read there in the Bible about things that happen to the men of faith in the Old Testament, like David and Samson and Gideon and Abraham and Isaac and all those guys, you read about that stuff in the Old Testament? That stuff is in there for an example for you, and it's the truth. It tells you exactly what's going on. God doesn't tell the tales. But you get to the New Testament, Hebrews chapter 11, and God starts telling you about the men of faith, and all of a sudden these guys look like heroes. And he doesn't tell you any of the bad stuff. Why? Because under the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, there are a lot of things forgiven you oughtn't to be even bringing up. You're disobeying God's command. How do you feel about that? You ought to puff your chest out. Well, I ain't never killed nobody and I ain't never stole nothing. Well, if you're working your jaw to bring somebody else down with your lips, you're breaking his command just like a thief and just like a murderer. So quit puffing out your chest. You're wrong. The talebearer. Look at Proverbs chapter 11, verse 13. You say, preacher, you're working me over, man. Well, there's a reason for that. Because this is a bad sin. God doesn't like it. Why should I? Why should you? Like I said, it's always fun to be the one to tell the tale, but you don't like to be the one on the receiving end of the tale. So if you don't like it, let's see, love thy neighbor as thyself. How does this compute? Do unto others as you'd have them do unto you? How does this compute? If you don't like them talking bad about you behind your back, then don't talk bad about them behind their back. See how easy it is? God's truth are always simple. If the shoe fits, wear it. Proverbs 11, verse 13. A talebearer revealeth secrets. But he that is of a faithful spirit concealeth the matter. You're not a faithful spirit if you're a talebearer. But that's a contrast. He that is of a faithful spirit concealeth the matter. You start talking, you're not a faithful spirit. You say, oh, I show up to church every Sunday night and every Wednesday. Good for you. You're not a faithful spirit. You're faithful in your attendance, but you're not a faithful spirit. A talebearer revealeth secrets. That is, he knows things that other people don't know, but he wants them to know that he knows those things, and he wants them to hear what those things are, the secrets. You know what that does? That defiles the saints, because the secrets that are generally told by the tales are things that are bad, not things that are good. They're usually dirt on people. I was talking to a fellow just the other day. He came by to see me, and we visited for a while. And he said, you know, I don't have a hard time dealing with such and such and such and such. But then every once in a while, somebody will put a thought in my ear and wake up these things in my life. What does that tell you? That tells you when these people are doing this, they're sowing discord. And God hates discord. It's defiling the saints. Listen, I'm going to tell you one thing that I know for a fact is wrong with the purpose-driven movement. And this isn't a message about the purpose-driven movement, I'm going to tell you, because it has to do with telling tales. In the purpose-driven movement, one of the things you're supposed to do is you're supposed to get together with your small group of accountability, your accountability group, and you're supposed to tell them those areas of your life where you're really struggling. And by telling the group, you're supposed to be able to get a power over those sins that even God Almighty himself can't give you. That's the strangest thing. Let me tell you something. If God's Word and God Almighty and the blood of Jesus Christ is not enough to cleanse your conscience and to start whooping that sin in your life, then telling a bunch of eager-to-hear people in an accountability group is not going to do it either. It may make you feel good, and it may give you some sort of a rising surge of sensuality inside of you that somehow or another, now I'm going to get victory over this because I've tattletaled on myself to all these people around me. You may get a surge of a feeling, but it ain't going to give you victory over that sin. You watch how the thing goes 30 days, 60 days, 90 days, 120 days, a year, 2 years later, you're still battling the same sin. It didn't help you at all. You know what it did? It defiled those saints that had to listen to that nonsense that's been going on in your privacy that they didn't know about. And you're the one that told on yourself. You say, what happens there? What happens there is that those deep, innermost, secret type of things generally have to do with stuff like sex. I heard of one of these accountability groups where a deacon in the church told a woman in the church in the group, he said, you didn't know this, but I just wanted to tell you that here's my problem. I've been lusting after you. Oh, my goodness. And he told that in front of the woman's husband. Now what? Oh, boy. You know exactly what happened after that. Now the husband wants to kill the deacon, right? Because he's been eyeing his wife, and every time he sees the deacon and he sees his deacon looking over there at the woman, you know, he wants to run over there in a jealous rage and strangle the man. Defiling effect on the congregation. Well, you know, the woman said in the accountability group, "Oh, isn't that something that you felt that way toward me? I must confess something to you. Oh, I've lusted after you." Oh. Well, they found out in their accountability group that they both had the hots for each other, and they used that to get together and dump their own spouses. Can't you see? That thing is a wreck. Some guy confesses to accountability group. You think the other 5 or 6 or 7 or 8 guys in the accountability group can keep a secret? Are you kidding me? In a church? Not on your life. The pastor's going to know, a deacon's going to know, somebody else's going to know, it's going to spread through the wives. They're going to get on the telephone and say, "Did you know what's going on with so-and-so? He's been struggling with dope addiction. He's in our church." It has a defiling effect on the congregation. Tale-bearer. There's no place for it in the church. There's no place for it in Christianity. There's no place for it among God's people. You have absolutely no business, none whatsoever, telling your deep, dark secrets to other people, nor do you have any business whatsoever telling the deep, dark secrets of other people that have confided in you to anybody else. Can't you get along in life without being the first one on the block to tell everybody else that you knew something about so-and-so that nobody else on the block knew? Can't you get control over that? Proverbs chapter 26, verse 20. Now, I warned you at the beginning of the message, listen, I said, I hate this thing. And I do. It's despicable. God hates it. The Bible speaks vehemently against it. And I get riled up about it because I see this as the work of the devil to tear people down and tear churches apart. And the church is the strongest living organism on the face of this earth. Working in concert with the real words of God and an authorized King James Bible, the church is powerful. God said, "Greater works than these shall you do." And the easiest way for the devil to tear things up is to get inside of you, use your tongue to spread junk, and then he'll rip it right to pieces. And people are suspicious of each other, and then they don't want to get around each other, and the fellowship gets all fouled up. Why? Because of your big mouth. Proverbs chapter 26, verse 20. Where no wood is, there the fire goeth out. So where there is no talebearer, the strife ceaseth. Where no wood is, there the fire goeth out. So where there is no talebearer, the strife ceaseth. What's you saying? You want to keep a fire going? Throw wood on it. You want the fire to go out? Quit throwing wood on it. As long as you don't have a talebearer, then whatever the strife was will stop. Okay. So what's this deal? Then this is real simple. If you have a talebearer in your congregation, or you are the talebearer in your congregation, here's what you need to do. And now you've got strife in the congregation, here's what you need to do. If you're the talebearer and strife's in the congregation, you need to quit bearing tales. Just need to shut your mouth. Say, "Those are strong words." Yeah, they're strong words, but I don't think you can misunderstand them. And I don't say them out of hatred for you. I say it out of hatred for the sin. I say it forcefully to get your attention, to help you to see that you've got to do something about it. Stop it. Quit. And you know what will happen? In a short period of time, the strife that you see in the church will begin to dwindle and go down and slowly go away, and the next thing you'll know, things are fine again. Why? Because you're not stirring up trouble. You say, "Well, I didn't know I was stirring up trouble." Sure, anytime you open your mouth and bear a tale, you're stirring it up. It causes the strife. And if you want the strife to cease, quit throwing wood on the fire. If you've got a talebearer in your congregation, you say, "What do we do? Should we go down there and kick him out, preacher?" Well, it'd be awful tempting. It really would be awful tempting. No, here's what you do. Quit listening. Slam it. In other words, when the talebearer comes up to you and go, "Hey, I got juicy stuff," calls you on the telephone, "Hey, I just heard something about the preacher." Bam! Just slam that phone down right in his ear. He'll call you back. Hey, what was that all about? I'm through listening to you, pal. You are a tale bearer, and I just heard on the radio a message about bearing tales. I checked the scriptures for myself. You're breaking God's commands. You're causing long-lasting harm. You're the one that's causing strife in the congregation. You're defiling the saints, and I don't want to participate in your nonsense. Bam! Hang up the phone. And that's how everybody else in the church ought to handle it. Then that big old wagging tongue won't have a place to put any of that nasty stuff. Everybody slams the door in his face, slams the phone down on the receiver. Okay, you don't want to be uncharitable and slam the phone down. Don't slam it down. Just say, hey, don't bother me with that nonsense. Hang up. If I just wasn't so peeved about this, and if I hadn't seen so much destruction by this kind of thing, I wouldn't be so riled up about it, and I'd be a little bit more, a little kinder to you when I told you how to break off the conversation. You can look at them right in the face and say, you know what? I really appreciate our friendship and all that, but I am not going to participate in your little tattle-telling busybody stories. So go tell somebody else. As a matter of fact, don't tell anybody else. Keep your mouth shut so you can be nice to them like that. And then everybody else in the congregation, if they'll just continue to shut their ears when this person wants to speak, they won't have any place to wag their tongue. And one of two things will happen. Number one, they'll get the message. Oh, we're doing wrong. You know what? If we want to get along with these folks, we got to quit talking bad about other people. Bingo, you've just done a great and marvelous thing for your church. But if the person is compelled and they've just got to speak, got to have somebody to talk about, you know what they'll do? Since nobody in your church is listening, they will go to another church. And guess what? Your problem will be solved and you will not have to have kicked anybody out of the church. Isn't that a remarkable thing? It's always basic. It's always simple. It's always right there in front of your face. If you're the one with the wagging tongue, quit talking. If you're the one with the receptive ears, quit listening, and you'll be amazed. The congregation won't be so defiled. The spirit won't be quenched. The strife will cease. You won't be breaking God's commands, and the people won't be getting so hurt in the congregation. What a remarkable solution to the problem. I pray you'll follow it. I pray that my demeanor today, my aggressive way of jumping on you about this thing, of rebuking you literally from the words of God, has not offended you. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. I didn't do this to offend you. I did it to wake you up, to stir your heart, to get you right with God. And I pray that's what you do. Confess it before the Lord and leave it alone. Shut your ears, shut your mouth, you'll be fine.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Rand Morgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.
Hallelujah.